I've been asked to talk about how I came to my decision to move to Tamra and the effects of the discriminatory policies of the Israeli government on the Palestinian citizens of the state. So I'm going to talk a bit about that, but all about the general situation in the Middle East, because I think that everybody is also very concerned about that. I should begin by saying that it's a long time since I've been in Germany. I'm 60 years old and born in January 49, so I am one of the first group of Jewish children to be born after the Holocaust. It was a big decision for me to come here to Germany. At the time when my book, the rights to my book were being sold, there was a lot of demand from different German publishers to buy it, and in fact the book went for a publisher's auction here in Germany, and it went to the highest bidder. I'm going to say things that you may find very uncomfortable, but I think it's important to speak honestly, otherwise it's a waste of my time being here. As I said, I grew up in the shadow of the Holocaust, and it very much was a major part of my life as a child. Every week we would receive a Jewish newspaper in which we would see lists of people looking for relatives and family who'd been in concentration camps and ghettos. And it was a very harrowing experience. My father, who was a very well-known doctor, was asked by the British government to come to Germany when they discovered the concentration camps and to work here, dealing with the sheer mass of the problem. And as a child, and I started to internalize what the Holocaust meant for me as a Jew, I couldn't understand why is it that so many Germans say they didn't know. And to this day, I find it very difficult to be sleeping here in Munich, knowing that there's a concentration camp down the road, which is the one, in fact, that my father was sent to upon liberation, where I'm very happy to say, and you might find this very difficult, where he was responsible for helping the prisoners identify their guards and actually sending the guards to work, clearing up the bodies of people with typhus so that they would catch typhus and die. The reason I tell you this is because this illustrates to you the power, helps to illustrate why so many Jews who live in the diaspora fell into under the spell on the power of the Zionist political ideology. The political ideology that was conceived by Theodor Herzl in 1895 in Basel in Switzerland and spoken about at the conference in Vienna about the founding of a Jewish state. And when you have grown up in the atmosphere that I've just described, the notion of a Jewish state is something that is like a dream. You know, you heard in the introduction that I was denied my place in a British school because the Jewish quota was full. My parents were not allowed to join the country club so I could swim because we were Jews. And this is in Britain after the war. Okay? After all the horrors of the war, this was still going on in 1950s and 1960s Britain. So it was at about age between 10 and 12 years old that I decided that one day I would emigrate to Israel, which I had been educated to believe was a country, a land without a people, for a people without a land, and that here was a country that was designed for my needs as a Jew. The fact that Palestinians had been living in this land for thousands of years was totally irrelevant to me as a Jew growing up in the diaspora. And when I became 50 years old, just before I was 50 years old, I had the opportunity to move to Israel, and I moved. My father originally came from South Africa, and I had during my education, when I came to the university level of my education, I had chosen to start at Cape Town University doing medicine, following in my father's footsteps. And this was in the late 60s and very much in the brutal period of apartheid. And it was during my first university year, I became very active in the ANC, extremely active. I was running a safe house. I hit people who were gun running. It was very, very dangerous work, underground work. And it was this experience. What happened was that in the end, after a year, I was arrested. And I spent a year and a half as a political prisoner in South Africa, all of it in solitary confinement. After my absorption into Israeli society, we were suddenly faced with the Intifada of 2000, when 13 Palestinian citizens of the state were shot in cold blood by the police. And this, to me, was a warning sign. Where had I seen this before? I'd seen this in South Africa. And to my horror, all of my colleagues that I was working with in Tel Aviv were pointing a finger at the Palestinians and saying, look, you see, bloody Palestinians, the first instance to cause rioting and problems, there they are throwing stones, we can't trust them, this and that. And they totally externalized the Intifada. Whereas I saw the Intifada and I internalized it and I said, where am I as a Jewish citizen here in Israel? What is my contribution to this uprising? So after the Intifada of 2000, this was sent an enormous shockwave through Israeli society. And I don't just want to say Israeli society, I'm also including Palestinian citizens of Israel in this as well. And the outrage was so great that the government was forced into a position where it had to organize a commission of inquiry called the Orr Commission. And the Orr Commission, under Justice Theodore Orr, published, and I was one of the researchers for a position paper which came from Dr. Asad Ranan from the Haifa University School of Political Science, in which we listed maybe 50 serious discriminatory policies that affect Palestinian citizens of Israel in their everyday life. And this is forgetting about the West Bank and Gaza. I've been, criticized worldwide for not writing about the West Bank and Gaza. And I will tell you very clearly, the West Bank and Gaza has had millions, trillions, zillions of words written about it, okay? And still the situation remains the same, if not worse. The Palestinian citizens of Israel are the forgotten people in this crisis. They are undergoing the indignity of living in a country which purports to be the so-called only democracy in the Middle East. Most of us living in the Middle East have no notion really of what the word democracy means. What is democracy? Is it something that American can implant into our society like a surgeon doing a breast implant? Is this what it is? Is it something that we're supposed to wake up tomorrow and swallow and say, oh, that's okay, I like that, that's what I paid my taxes for? No, it's not. And sadly, Israel is now moving further and further to the right. In my indoctrination into the Zionist world of Israel, I started to ask myself after the Intifada, where are these Palestinian citizens? Where are these people in Umm al-Fahm who who've been shot. Why don't I see these people on the streets in Tel Aviv? Okay? Why don't I see them shopping in the same shops where I shop? Okay? And this is also maybe challenging your notions of us in the Islamic world. And I say us because I have lived now in the Islamic world for 8 years and I choose to make my life in that world. I'm more comfortable in that world. I find that Arabs are my first cousins. Islam and Judaism are from the same root. We have many of the similar practices and so on. Our family lives are very similar. The way we communicate is very similar. It was a terrible... I could feel that here we had a gap. Here there was something not right.
Lora München, das alternative Radio auf der 92.4. Montag bis Freitag, 17 bis 24 Uhr.